All right, kiddos, come on and join me here. How's everybody today? All right, won't you come around the table here? We're going to look at the table here today. All right? Do y'all know what we're doing today? Yeah. What are we going to have today? Communion, okay. And who wants to tell me what communion is about? Anybody? All right. All right, Ethan. What's it about? It is cool. It's very cool. Yes, sir. Tim. About Jesus. All right. And we have this bread up here. What does the bread represent? His body. Okay, all right, so the bread represents his body, and how about the juice? His blood, all right? So, when, who told us to do this? Jesus told us, that's right, Kim. He told us to do it, and he said that every time he said, You take of this bread, what do you remember? What did I just do? I broke it. And he said, so every time you take the supper, you remember my broken body. Now, how was his body broken? What did he do for us?
Died for our sins.
Died for us on the cross. So he was there on the cross, and he said, and every time you take this cup, you remember what? What did he do on the cross?
He shed his blood
for us on the cross. So, at the end of the service today, in fact, we're going to go and come and get y'all from Kids Zone today, so we can all have communion together. We're going to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. Let me ask you this. Did he stay on the cross?
No.
All right, so he died. Then what happened?
After 3 days,
he arose.
He arose.
He arose from the dead. So today we serve a living Savior. Y'all come around here and let's pray together, okay? Come on, everybody. Right here. Right here. Let's gather together. All right. All right. Let's pray. Let's pray. Now, Lord, we thank you for your broken body and your shed blood on the cross. We pray, Lord, you will speak to each of us today. We'll hear your voice and we'll be obedient to you. Amen. Amen. All right. Y'all can go on to Kid Zone. Don't you wish you could bottle that? I enjoy being with y'all, but I wouldn't trade being with them. Because what comes up, comes out. And you never know. You never know what theological wisdom you're going to get from them. And what a blessing they are. I remember communion. John, you can go ahead and put our title up there. Title of today's message is The Mystery of Communion. I remember communion in our church growing up, and the young people sat way in the back right-hand corner. We had those trays. You know what I'm talking about? And the deacons, they had to do their thing. They were up here, and the preacher was, it was always a nervous deacon that he called on to pray, really didn't want to pray, but he had to pray anyway. And then they were handing those things out, and I was thinking, man, I hope they don't drop them. You know, because they had all the stacks. You remember what I'm talking about? Had the stacks, and it was pretty silver stuff, or maybe at your church, it was gold. But, And it had those little bits of it's supposed to be unleavened bread, is what it was, because it's supposed to be related to Passover and fulfillment of that. But the stuff, do you remember what it tasted like?
Cardboard.
Cardboard. It was like they had chipped up pieces of cardboard and put it on a plate. And we'd pass it down. And by the time it got back to where the teenagers were in the back, one of the guys that was with us, he dropped his. And so he was under the pew trying to find his. Well, then, you know, the pastor would hold it up and he'd say, "This is the body of the Lord. This dude in remembrance of me." And put it in his mouth, and we'd all eat that. Then they'd pass out the juice. And we were Baptists, so you couldn't have wine. So they pass that out. And I remember Danny Hamilton, he was older than me. I must have been about 13, 14 years old. Danny was about 16 or 17. And for some reason, Danny drank his juice before the pastor got to the part where you're supposed to drink it. And I remember he was going around while the pastor was talking. It was very distracting. And he was saying, "Could I borrow a little juice from you?" And I thought, yesterday I was thinking about communion and thinking about all of my communion experiences over the years and remembering, you know, a lot of them I just don't remember. So that brings me to my first question. What does communion mean to you? Do you have some memorable communion times? I hope they're a lot better than Danny going around, you know, "Can I borrow some juice from you?" Was it really mean to you? Is it mean? The tradition that you came up in, what did it mean to you? Second question, what feelings have you had during communion? I'll have to admit, there were a lot of strengths of the tradition that I came up in. We understood evangelism. We understood the plan of salvation. We understand the place of the Word of God. But I have to say, and baptism. But communion was probably a weak place in the tradition that I grew up in. It generally was something that was tacked on to the end of a service. And you did it once a month or once a quarter, and it was just something I always felt like we were just getting through it. Third question, has God spoken to you during communion? You know, when I was growing up, communion would have been the last place I would have expected to hear the voice of God. It probably should have been the first, because of what I'm going to share with you today. So let's read the story, and we'll read it in context. This is from the New Living, and it's Paul's instruction about communion. Now, why would I title this "The Mystery of Communion"? You'll see. There is a mystery about what happened. But in the following instructions, I cannot praise you. For it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. Any of you ever been a part of a church like that? That getting together was probably a worse idea than staying apart. Because of fussing and feuding and fighting and all that kind of stuff. First, I hear there are divisions among you when you meet as a church, and to some extent I believe it. But of course there must be divisions among you so that you who have God's approval will be recognized. When you meet together, you're not really interested in the Lord's Supper. For some of you, hurry to eat your own meal without sharing it with others. As a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. Now, some of you probably, you may not understand this, what I was talking about, but they had a what they would call in the first century more like a love feast, more like where they would come together and actually share a meal. It wasn't exactly, because these are Gentiles, it wasn't exactly like the Passover meal that we're talking about, but they would have, it'd be like a church dinner. And they would pack their meal and bring it together. And the people who had plenty of money and could afford food, they'd have a better meal, because they weren't putting it, it wasn't potluck for everybody. They would eat there, and then people who were very poor would eat there. And there was this big difference between the people. He says, as a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. What? Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly will not praise you for this. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord Himself. On the night when He was betrayed, Jesus took bread. Now imagine Paul teaching this, and he's teaching this as a Jew. He's a Jew who has come to know Yeshua, has come to know Jesus as a Savior. But the church at Corinth is largely Gentile. There are some Jews there, most probably, but most of them are Gentiles. But imagine it, as Paul is teaching this, what's Paul thinking in the back of his mind? He's remembering the Passover. He is remembering all the pictures of that has happened to him since he was a boy, and how the Passover meal, the Seder meal, was a prophecy of the coming of Jesus. And for Paul, it all fits together. Just imagine it now. Put yourself there at Corinth with Paul, with the players here, okay? He broke it in pieces and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So they eat. And then he takes the cup and he says, "In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying," and you know, we've taught y'all many times that this is the third cup. They would actually, they'd have four cups in the Seder meal, of which this is the fulfillment. And this is the third cup, which is the cup of salvation. Now, the fourth one is what Jesus speaks of, the fourth cup, which we haven't had yet. The Seder meal talks about, which is a picture of things to come. The fourth cup, in the Gospel of Luke, that's where Jesus says, I'm not going to drink of the fruit of the vine until, remember that passage? I come with you in the kingdom. And in the millennial kingdom, we will have that fourth cup. You see, he wraps it all together. It's in a package. It's not anything wasted. We didn't do away with the Old Testament. We're fulfilling the Old Testament. He said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and His people, an agreement confirmed with my blood." So His blood is the blood of new covenant. Scripture says, apart from the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, no remission of sins. "Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it." So there, God's built-in reminder. For every time you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death There's an important phrase in this here. You're announcing his death until he comes. Until he comes again. Verse 27. So anyone, now here's the further instruction. So anyone who eats the bread and drinks the cup in an unworthy manner, unworthily, is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. So let me ask you, that humorous story that I told you at the beginning of the message today, what were we as teenagers doing? We were guilty. We were guilty of not taking something very serious that God says you need to handle in a very serious manner. He says, unworthily, he is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That's why you should examine yourself before you eat the bread and drink the cup. For if you eat the bread and drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you're eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. So, to just go through it, and anytime you just go through it like a ritual, you're just screaming out, God, I really don't care about hearing your voice. I don't care about hearing you. Now get this. He then goes on to say, that is why many of you are weak and sick and some have died. Do you think the Lord's serious about how we're to handle His holy things? He's very serious. But if we would examine ourselves, we'd not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we're judged by the Lord, we're being disciplined so that we'll not be condemned along with the world. We're not talking, he's not talking about here a disciplining that separates a person from Christ, but we're talking about the Lord's discipline that brings us back in line with Him. You parents, when you discipline your children, and you make that statement that children never believe, this is gonna hurt me more than it hurts you. As a child, you don't believe that. That's a bunch of hooey. But as a parent, you know that is gospel truth. Because you don't want to discipline your child in any way, shape, form, or fashion. But you know you have to. And let me tell you, it doesn't get any easier as a grandparent, does it? How many weak grandparents have we got here? I'll have two hands up. Oh, man. But like Audrey and I were talking about, Meg and Craig had gone, that they were had gone off for the weekend. We had Finley there all to ourselves. And he was doing something he wasn't supposed to do. And Audrey looks at me and she says, well, I guess we have to discipline him. Because we really do love him. And we don't want to contribute to his delinquency. So as you look at this passage, I want you to see from God's heart, He wants us to handle these things right because it's in our best interest. Because He desires the best for us. So my dear brothers, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. If you're really hungry, eat at home so you won't bring judgment upon yourselves when you meet together. And I'll give you instructions about other matters when I arrive. Here's a few things I want to share with you today. First one. What did he say early in the passage, he said, it sounds like your gathering together is a bigger problem than staying away. Communion is to build you up, not to tear you down. We come to the Lord's table. Again, the discipline from the Lord is not to put us down, but to conform us, to move us closer to Him. God doesn't want to tear you down. He wants to build you up. Number two, it is to unify, not divide. The unity of the faith. As we come together in communion, we come to the Lord's table, this should be one of the most unifying experiences that we have as a church body, as a body of Christ, as families. Number three, communion is about the new covenant, but it's not a denial of the old covenant. It's not a denial of the Old Testament. It's not a denial of the Seder meal. It's a fulfillment of all of that. It's God is bringing things all together. And we see that fulfillment of Jesus. Remember, in the Seder meal, they're remembering the Passover, celebrating the death angel passing over, and they ate the bread in haste, the bread that had not been allowed to rise. There was no leaven in it. So it was flat, and the death angel passed over every home that had what? The blood of the lamb over the doorpost and lintel. See all those pictures. All those pictures throughout the whole Seder meal. How many of y'all have ever been through a Seder meal? Been to one? Okay. Number of you have, about half of us. All those pictures that the Jews are still practicing and don't see. Audrey and I went down to Mikveh Israel for Second Night Seder down there where this is the oldest synagogue in Georgia, third oldest in the Western Hemisphere. I mean, they've got a letter down there from George Washington. They've got their Torah scroll that's written on deer hide down there. But here, we as Gentiles, we were invited by our Jewish friends to come and share the Seder meal. Let me tell you, when they threw open that door, when the rabbi said, go open the door, and he cries out for Elisha to come, which is a picture of Jesus, to come in. Man, I got chill bumps. I'm getting them right now. I got chill bumps all over me. I said, Jesus, come on in. Come on in. Sweep right through here, and let's see every one of these people that are still acting out this ritual, see that it has been fulfilled in Jesus. Number four, communion is a reminder of death. We're remembering the death of Jesus, His broken body, His poured out blood. On the cross, He was buried, put in the grave, He arose again, and what does the Scripture say? For every time you eat this bread, drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death. What? What's the next part? Until He comes. So, we're looking for it. Let me tell you. It's like, here's what the celebration will be like. You know, and I'm mixing my metaphors here, but it's okay. It's like telling that kid on Christmas morning that's just gotten everything that he ever wanted, you know, it's all out, and they think, man, Lord have mercy. Look at all this. It's just like telling that kid, saying, hey, man, Bubba, you've just gotten the entree. You've just gotten the preparation. You ought to see what's coming next. You see, that's how we ought to be living. Sandwiched in between the two comings of Jesus. We're celebrating what he has done for us. Death, burial, and resurrection. He's given us life, but we're looking forward to his coming. And let me tell you, after this summer, after all the garbage that has gone on in our nation and around the world right now, you know what I'm ready for? I'm ready for Jesus to come. I'm ready for his power to come. After listening to all that rigmarole at the conventions and all those people, you know, Lord, I stopped keeping up with the number of lies that were told. All these people telling all these lies. Lie, 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 you know, all of that. I just want somebody to say, you know, even so, come, Lord Jesus, and just sweep right through. If it's Cleveland or if it's the city of brotherly love, come, Lord Jesus. Number five, communion is a matter of the heart. It's not a meaningless ritual. When it's been reduced to a ritual and you've forgotten why you do it. Remember that story about the lady that's in the, she's in her kitchen, they're having a holiday meal. She's gotten a whole ham. And her little girl is watching her. And got the whole family over the house. She cuts off each end of the ham. Little girl looks at her and said, "Well, Mom, why'd you cut off each end of the ham? Seems like a waste." Said, "Well, Don, we've always done it that way." Said, "But you know the juices can get through if you cut both in." Little girl's not satisfied. She looks at her grandmother who is there, and she says, "Grandma, is this the way you taught Mom how to do it?" "Yep. You cut off each end of the ham." And she said, "When she said that this photo of the juices can get through," and she's just not accepting the answer. Her great-grandma was at the dinner, so she goes in, she said, "Great-grandma, Mom's in there cutting off each end of the ham. Why is she doing that?" She said, "Oh, that's a ritual we've been doing in our family. The reason why we started doing it is because the little Mickey Mouse pot I had when I was a girl wasn't big enough for the ham, so I had to cut each end off of it." Has communion become like that to you? Were you forgotten what it's about? When I was in seminary, they taught us to baptize. We actually had a course in doing that. And which, by the way, 2 weeks for having baptism. If you haven't checked in with us, we'd like to be baptized. Have someone in your family let us know. But the preacher had always, you know, he said, "Now this is how you get in and you pray and you put your hand up in the air." I thought about that thing for the longest time. Every other part of what we do when we put somebody in the water had a meaning. And I asked one of the preachers and said, "Why do you put your hand up in the air?" He said, "I don't know. The preacher I grew up under, he did the same thing. Talked to him, he did the same thing." I said, "Well, I'm going to stop doing it till I find out why they do it." So when I start doing put my hand up in the air, you know, I will have figured it out by them. But until then, I'm not going to do it because it's meaningless. It's a ritual. Communion's a matter of the heart. God wants to speak to your heart today. Number six, communion demands examination, not condemnation. Romans 8, it says, "Now there's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." God's not interested, and you may have God being described to you or the people in your family as some heavenly ogre who wants to mess up your party, so always spoil your fun. That's not what God is about. God is the ultimate in joy. He wants to bring an examination of your life. I'm glad that Audrey takes a look at me after I get dressed in the morning before I go out into the world. Now, why am I glad of that? Was she condemning me by what I dress in the dark sometimes? And no, I'm not colorblind, but sometimes, you know, all she has to say is, and it's not condemning, she said, "You're not going to wear that, are you?" To which I'll say, "No, I was just trying it on to see if it fit, it still fit. Make up a good one." So, God wants you to examine yourself as you come to the table today. Communion has discipline, not damnation. See, this is built in revival for His church. It's for us to come back and take a look at ourselves, which we're going to do in just a second. And finally, final question. Will you therefore let God renew you and bring hope to your life as we come to the Lord's table and have communion? Renew you and bring you hope. You see, it's you take an inventory of where you are, and then He's showing you where He's going to take you for all eternity. And that ought to wind you up. It's a mystery that He is here, that He is with us. We don't teach transubstantiation, which one group teaches that the bread actually becomes the body of Jesus and the wine all becomes the blood of Jesus. We don't teach that. We don't teach other convoluted schemes. I call them interpretations. What we teach is that this is a symbol of the body and the blood of Jesus. But He is here right now, and He wants to minister to you. There's a sweet mystery about that. Why don't you let Him speak to you? We're going to open the altar right now. Let's bow our heads. Gary's going to play some quiet music for us. If you want to sit where you are and, you know, and let that scripture be fulfilled, let a person examine himself, then you can do that. If you want to come to the altar, you can do that. Brother Rick and I will be here to pray with you. If you want someone to pray with you. But this is your time to get ready to come to the table. We open the altar right now. This is a time to confess your sin. This is time to get it right with the Lord. Let Him renew you. What is He speaking to you? Rick, if you would join me here. I'm going to pray for us a corporate prayer. And I trust this prayer will express the desire of your heart as we come and ask the Lord for His forgiveness before we come to His table. Would you bow your heads, please? Jesus, we thank You that You died on the cross for our sin, that You rose on the third day. And now as we come to the table, We do ask you, Holy Spirit, to examine our hearts. We ask your forgiveness for all the sin of our lives. The things that we have said, the thoughts we have had, the things we have done, Lord, that we know are not pleasing to you. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you that your blood covers all of our sin. Now, Lord, we ask you, as we come to the table, we come to the great thanksgiving, to the Eucharist, as we praise and honor your name. You are Lord over all. And we thank you. Thank you that you're Lord over our sin. That you have paid the price. Holy Spirit of God, come now and renew us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Eat and remember my broken body in your behalf." And the same evening, he took the cup, the third cup, the cup of redemption, and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your blessing as we say blessing over the cup and remember your shed blood in our behalf." Thank you. Rick, this is the body of Jesus broken in your behalf and the blood of the new covenant poured out for you.
Blood of Jesus shed for you.
Amen. We invite you to the Lord's table. Come. Come experience the presence of Jesus himself. The mystery of communion. He is here and he is not silent. Come to his table. We'd like to get those cards from you. If you have an offering to bring, you can come and... basket in the back, basket's up here. We'll wait just now, a few moments. Well, sure is good to see you here today. As we're praying for one another, let's remember to pray for Brother Dane and the team as they travel back. They're supposed to leave this afternoon from Johannesburg, but... only the Lord knows for sure when they're going to leave. And they're supposed to be in Savannah at 9:30 in the morning. But that's dependent on them getting to Atlanta and going through customs and getting on the airplane all in 2 hours. So we don't know if they'll be able to do that. But please pray, pray protection over the team. They have had a great, great mission. Now, gonna send you out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Send you out. You've experienced the very presence of the Lord and the mystery of his presence as he stirs your heart. Remember, 2 weeks from today, baptism. I pray to the Lord that the people in your life, you're considering the people that need Jesus. We sure would like to baptize them out there at the beach. Who knows, you know, us having baptism out there usually means there's going to be a storm coming in of some sort, if the past is any predictor of the future. But let's stand, and the scripture says they sang and they departed. So let's do that.